Good morning, Unity of Wimberley. Aren't you a handsome, beautiful bunch? I've been so looking forward to being here for many years, and I'm very grateful that you've allowed me to come this weekend and share with you. Before I begin, my talk is entitled Push Pause, but before I begin, let's just push pause for a moment, because I want to say thank you to Unity of Wimberley for two things. First of all, I heard through the grapevine that your board of directors made a choice one time that you would tithe on your budget, not your income. And when I heard that, something went off in me and I thought, my gosh, what an act of faith. Who does that? And I understand that you are prosperous because of it, not just because of the way you give, but it expands your prosperity consciousness. So I stole your idea. And and since the spring, that's been my practice. And I, oh my gosh, it does take audacious, bold, courageous, prayer-powered living, but I'm managing it. And thank you so much for sharing that idea. Which follows on to the next thing that I'm grateful for. Later on this month, my ministry, Touching the Stillness Ministries, is hosting an event at Unity Village. I'm going to be bringing out 100 to 120 employees of an organization called Operation Breakthrough. It's a family services and childcare services charity, and it's located in one of the most challenging urban areas of the city. And so the story is that with the family services and childcare, projects, let's call it, growing opportunities that the staff are facing every day, many of them experience second tier trauma. So this is an opportunity for them to come out to Unity Village and allow myself and the volunteer team that sprung up out of this to nurture the staff, take care of them, help them to push pause, take a moment, and give them skills and tools to take away to use in their day-to-day life at work and when they leave work. And this idea, when people heard about it, because I've been going around going, oh, guess what I'm doing? Oh, guess what I'm doing? And you should hear, oh my goodness. And so people caught the energy. That's exactly how I did it, isn't it, Tim? And people caught the energy of that and began to send donations from all over the country. Unity centers, individuals and communities from all over the country began to send donations in support of that idea. And your generous community sent us a donation that will allow us to also provide a meal, a seated meal for them on that day. Thank you. Yes, give yourselves a hand. All right. So push pause. I knew that when you saw that title, you'd all make an assumption that, you know, I was going to talk about prayer and meditation and how you need to add it to your day. You're right. So let's get on with it, shall we? I was in the grocery store, and it's a store that's gone national, but I had never been there, and I knew it was a conscious grocery store. So every time I heard the bell ring, I would just stop what I was doing and then carry on. And did my groceries. I got to the checkout, and as I approached the checkout, Anna smiled at me, the associate who was going to check me out. And as I approached, the bell rang again. And so I just asked, because I made up my own mind what it meant. So I said, well, what does the bell mean? And she said, oh, it means they're calling for a manager. Like, oh. I said it sounded like a temple bell. And be kind, because of the sort of store it is, I assumed it was a signal to all of us to just take a moment, push pause and be present. And she kind of looked at me quizzically. So I explained that there is a monastery out in France, Thich Nhat Hanh's monastery. The author and activist Thich Nhat Hanh has a monastery in Plum Village. And they do this several times a day, 3 to 5 times a day. You will hear the temple bell ring. And when it rings, everybody stops what they're doing. Conversation stops, the tasks, even the prayers, everything just stops. and they come home to themselves, come home to the present moment. So I explained to her, that's what I thought this bell was. Every time it rang, I would stop. And she said, well, that sounds like a good idea. I've never heard anything like that before. And I said, well, you could use this as an opportunity, you know, while you're checking people out. She says, oh, I'd never get anything done if I stopped every time that the bell rang. And right on cue, the bell rang. And she took a breath and did not miss a beat checking the goods across the scanner as they came across the conveyor belt. And I could see in her face that she was surprised that she was able to multitask in a positive way. And she said, oh, that felt good. So I was saying that by the time you check someone out, you could have taken a pause just because that bell signals, and it signals often in that particular store. So she did the rest of my grocery store, my grocery purchase, put it all in the bag very dexterously. And just as I was leaving, I was going to just leave a word of encouragement. And the bell rang again. And once again, I saw her push pause. Now, like you, or like Anna, rather, you may assume that you're too busy to be pushing pause several times a day, right? Got things going on, places to be, things to get done. Or you might think, well, I'm not actually that busy. I'm retired. I've got this laid-back life. I don't need to push pause. My whole life is on pause. But that's not exactly true either, because even when we're not active, which is very rare these days that we're not trying to fill the space of every moment with something to do, even if we think that we're chilling out, the mind is going over and over again, planning and preparing and projecting into the future and creating stressful ideas about what could be and what might be and what has been, even though the body is still. So you've got that extreme, and then you've got the stuff we know about, where we're just running on the spot and we're checking our phones and checking our iPads and it just never stops. I can't possibly take a pause. Who's got time? You do. And I know this to be true because it's a practice I have myself. But according to this very monk that we were talking about, Thich Nhat Hanh, he says, one in-breath. One in-breath is enough to free the mind. A mindful breath. He says, we become more conscious and appreciative of the moment of life, even more aware of the activity we were engaged in before the pause. So the object of the practice of taking that one mindful breath and restoring our calm and peace is to become free. Our work becomes more enjoyable and the friend in front of us becomes more real, he suggests. So this idea comes with a disclaimer today. Do not push pause right now and zone out on me. Come back. This is for later. Thomas More, the former monk and the author of the best-selling book, Care of the Soul, he states it bluntly like this. A spirituality that doesn't touch every single aspect of daily, personal, and commercial life is bogus. Can I say that? Okay. We were talking about words that you can and cannot say from the pulpit. I just wanted to make sure that that translates in America the way it does in England. Okay, so a spirituality that doesn't touch every single aspect of daily, personal, and commercial life is bogus. So being too busy to take that pause is no excuse. The busier we are, the more imperative it is. When I was in seminary, in the second year of seminary, we used to do seminary for 2 years back in the day. Shame my age. But we used to do seminary for 2 years, and in the second year, everything ramps up. Of course it does. You're getting ready to graduate, and they just want to make sure you know everything you're supposed to know before they usher you through the door. And for some reason, I was guided to go back to college and finish my degree while in the second year of seminary. It was not my idea, I tell you that from now. So anyway, I followed the guidance and I went back to school. So as you can imagine, my plate was full. Both plates were full. I had assignments for both classes. We were doing our, where you go out and, what's the word? It's gone out of my head. Internships, thank you. Someone's awake. Right, we were doing internships. We were doing practicums at the hospital. We were doing our homework. And then I would have to cross the state line and go over to the university to do my assignments over there and take classes over there. And it was a lot. Well, in January of 2000, I had set an intention that every month I would have a day of sacred silent Sabbath. And I would put it on my schedule and nothing would come between me and that day. It was sacrosanct. So it was on there and that's what I was doing that day. So come the second year of seminary and doing these classes, I would look at all the things I have to do and squeeze in a day for prayer and meditation. I haven't got time. I couldn't possibly make this happen. And then I would think, you know what? You can't possibly not do it. So I had this little shoebox and I would put my mouse and my pen and anything that represented work or study or activity, I would put it in the box. I was living on grounds at Unity Village and in the dorm. And so I'd put the box outside my dorm room and I'd smack on my name badge that said, I'm observing silence today, and I would push pause. Now that's easy to do on one sense that, you know, you schedule it in, you take the day, but you could go off. You could spend the day worrying about all the things you've left undone, all the things you have that are waiting for you, not being able to focus on this moment. It takes practice, and it was a really good practice for me for where I was going to end up in my career after that. So what would happen? I would come out of the silence, and the homework assignment that we got at school would somehow translate to the homework assignment we got at university. And the research that we did at university would somehow inform an article or an assignment that I had to do for school. A book would fall off the shelf when I was thinking, how am I going to find? And there it would be. An assignment that was supposed to take me at least 2 weeks to research would just come together in some kind of magical way. Well, we know it wasn't magical, right? But it was just how that idea of seek ye first, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, its right thinking, and all these things will be yours as well. Even the homework assignments that had to be done. And I was a straight A student without trying. I mean, I obviously tried. But but the prayer and the meditation informed that, supported that. And I was amazed by that. So it can be done. I'm a witness. So I then see you all zone out and go, yeah, right. Who's got a whole day? You can't even use that excuse because you don't have to have a whole day. You can do it for half a day. You can do it for a couple of hours. Or you can just take a moment, one mindful breath, and be present. And that's all it takes. What if every time you put your hand on a doorknob, it was a signal to your subconscious it was time for that pause? What if every time you picked up a cup of coffee, before you take that first sip, you take a breath and push pause? Or better still, if it was every time you drank a glass of water, because if you were drinking the 8 glasses they recommend a day, that would be 8 pauses a day. Every time you wash your hands or dry your hands after a break, take a pause before you rush to the next thing. Perhaps it would be a sound that would trigger you. A baby crying. I was going to say sirens, but out here in hill country, I don't hear the sirens quite as much. Maybe something else. An emergency vehicle whizzing by if you're down in Austin or somewhere. We can even be deliberate. When the phone rings, we grab for that phone. We don't even think about it. What if you were to just take a second of a pause before you picked up the phone and blessed the caller? Or you hear that ping that says the email or the text has arrived and we grab to see who it is. Even when we're praying and meditating, we've got our eye over there looking to see who's that on the phone? Should I get it now or should I do it after my meditation? What if before you picked up the phone to respond to that email, that text, that ping, you took that pause and breathed into the moment? What a difference do you think that would make? I can see you're still not convinced, so I'll keep going. But with a word of caution, because I do this, I love it, it's my life, and I would love, you know, this is what Touching the Stillness Ministries is about, to inspire and demonstrate in others audacious, bold, and courageous prayer-powered living. It's what my life revolves around, but I don't want to be selfish about it. I want to bring people with me. You know, my last name is Pipe. I could be the Pied Piper that says, come with me, and when we get to the edge of stillness, I just nudge you forward into the void. So I am excited and passionate about this, but I can see how it's not for everyone. But it is. So a word of caution. The minute we try to be still, the minute we decide we're going to take that pause, somehow those thoughts seem to think it's an open gateway. Look, there's an opening, run! And here they come, rushing into our awareness, and we can't stop ourselves grabbing that one. Oh, where's this one going? Just go with that. Don't make yourself wrong. Notice that your mind has wandered off, run off in a different direction, and then bring it back to the breath, the one mindful breath. Don't consider that you failed because your mind wouldn't stop running. That is not the point of meditation, prayer, stillness. It's to be present to the mind, to the moment, and present of the thoughts, present of the sensations, present of everything. And when we stop trying to push it away, stop trying to push the distractions away, we find ourselves exactly where we wanted to be, at that still place, that still point within. In his new book, the former Zen monk Stephen Bodian, who also wrote Meditation for Dummies, he says, his new book is called Beyond Mindfulness. And he says, as you may have noticed, when you are efforting to get your mind to settle down, you're just stirring the waters and causing more turmoil. Just be. Just be. And as that wise sage from the Tao Te Ching, Lao Tzu says, we have to learn how to do nothing. We have to learn how to do nothing. We have to learn how to do nothing. So I'm going to invite you to join me as we push pause and practice doing nothing, which isn't exactly true, because we're going to touch the stillness. Let's do that now. Adjust your position in your seat if you need to, so that you're sitting upright, yet relaxed, and able to take in the whole breath, which is what will help us to relax. If you're holding anything in your hands, you can just put that aside for now. And without changing anything, just notice your breath. Notice it flowing in and flowing out. Notice where the breath is coming from. Is it at your chest? Or is it coming from way down in the belly? Just take a moment to notice. Feel your feet in your shoes. Feel all the surfaces that are making contact with the seat. Notice the temperature of the air as it touches your skin. And hear all the sounds around you. And now take a deep and deliberate in-breath and pause before you exhale, and then slowly, slowly let all the air out. One more deep breath in, pause, and exhale. And feel the relaxation pouring through you now, coursing through you now. Feel relaxation circulating around your head, clearing the front of the head, moving down through the neck, into our shoulders, into our chest. Relax and let go with every breath, feeling every part of you begin to unclench. Stomach, the abdomen, the spine, pelvis, hips, thighs, the knees soften even in your seat. And relaxation moves all the way down to your ankles and out through your toes. Falls from your shoulder, and your shoulders fall from around your ears. And relaxation moves down the arms, into the elbows, forearms, wrists, hands, and out through the fingertips. Now take a deep breath in, and as you exhale, exhale to any place that might still feel tense or tight. Breathe out to any place where there is discomfort, any sensation. Just exhale, imagine the breath going to that place. Peace, be still as it lets go. And then there are the thoughts trickling across the mind. Just let them be. Don't grasp for them, and don't try to push them away. Just notice thinking, thoughts, and then bring the attention back to the breath, back to this precious present moment. And just breathe here. Let go some more and relax, surrender as we journey to that place within and push pause as we rest in the stillness of the silence. And now we go deeper. We let the breath take us there. Breathing in, we know we are breathing in. Breathing out, we are aware we are breathing out. Breathing in, we are calm. Breathing out, we are at ease. Breathing in, we notice our breath has become deeper. Breathing out, we notice our breath has become slower. Breathing in, we are calm. Breathing out, we are at ease. Breathing in, we smile. Breathing out, we release. Breathing in, we are realizing we dwell in the present moment. And with every breath out, we are aware this is a wonderful moment to push, pause, and wait. And now we begin our journey in consciousness back to this time and place, bringing with us this sense of peace, this calm, this ability to just be in the moment. Whatever the signal is that we use, we can come back to this pause at any time. We can let it inform whatever work or activity or project is awaiting our attention. The connection in relationship with another. But more importantly, it informs, impacts, and influences the relationship we cultivate with the divine within. So notice again the sounds around you. Feel the temperature of the air touching your skin. Feel the seat beneath you supporting you. And feel, notice, and follow the flow of your breath. And then bring your attention up behind the back of your eyes and pause here. And take a deep breath here. Sigh it out. One more time, deep breath in, pause, and sigh it out. One more time, deep breath in, pause, sigh it out. And now vigorously rub your hands together and place your warm hands over your eyes. Open your eyes behind the back of your hands. Take a breath here. Exhale. And then draw your hands down. I affirm, I am a divine expression of God. Daily, I seek ways to create a life that reveres and reveals more of the divine within me. I am a divine expression of God. Together, I am a divine expression of God. Daily, I seek ways. Daily, I seek ways to create a life that reveres and reveals more of the divine within me. And so it is. Namaste.